This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you. And then, yes, I'm going to go home and rake the yard. Don't know what you're doing, but that's what I'm doing. But feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns.
You're not supposed to wreck your yard.
No?
In the spring.
What are you talking about?
The guys on Garden Talk will tell you.
Really?
That's what they said. They say that every year. You don't, because what it does is it brings the weed seeds up to the top. Ooh. And allows them so that you get more weeds.
I missed that episode, but I chemically treat
not
with
just
no
the
weeds.
Episode. They repeat this constantly.
I am so sorry.
So I listened to Garden
Talk. Wait a minute.
Talk.
So you're giving me my Saturday back? Thank you. Right, it does make sense. But, you know, I put the old fertilizer down and stops the weeds and all that fun stuff. Right. So maybe that's why I've been lucky.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. But that does make sense, Bob.
Oh, yeah. They also promote not using chemicals.
Yes, that's also good.
Organic solutions.
That's the chicken stuff, right?
Well, I don't know exactly. They have a lot of stuff that they promote. Yeah. And, you know, I know that they're good.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, I got, you know what? If you gave me my Saturday back, I'll just do something else. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. Hey, honey, I can't rake the yard. Garden Talk guy said I shouldn't do it. 522-WTIC, which is awesome. Before we bring on Doug, so hang on, Doug. I want to bring this really quick story up. Millions, yes, millions of websites offline after a fire at a French cloud service firm. A fire at a French cloud services firm has disrupted millions of websites, knocking out government agencies, portals, banks, shops, news websites, and taking a chunk out of the .fr web space, according to internet monitors. Now, I know you're thinking that elasticity of the cloud is supposed to be there. They're supposed to fail over, right? You shouldn't go down just because your data center burns up.
So where was the redundancy and the...
Oh, I don't know. It's confusing. I don't know why somebody else's servers went up in smoke and everything went down. Anybody going to explain that?
Well, maybe with somebody in the back room having a Molotov cocktail.
Now, I don't know what it is. Europe's largest cloud service provider told clients, including the French government, that the center, Podmidu, I took 2 years of French in college, and cryptocurrency exchange, Durbit, to activate their disaster recovery plans following the blaze. Yeah. So, again, I understand the cloud is something that everyone wants to go to, but it's just somebody else's servers. And if they haven't done what they said they're going to do, I have other stories about the fact that there's people who are missing data now because they thought that this company was backing it up too. Sorry, it wasn't. All they're doing is hosting your stuff. It's up to you to protect it, not up to these guys. They provide the infrastructure. You got to back up your cloud, just like you have to back up 365. Because you can delete the data, guys. You could have somebody in your office delete their email, delete their iDrive, and say, I see you later. And if you don't have a backup, Microsoft doesn't either.
And read the EULA.
Read the EULA. Yep. Yeah, good advice. So go ahead and refresh our screen, Bob, and we're going to bring up Doug in West Hartford next. Hey, Doug, what's up? Morning, Doug. You there?
The cleanest, quickest way to transfer some data from an old computer to a new computer.
Data only? Cleanest, quickest? I'll get Bob this one. What do you think is your cleanest, quickest way that you'd recommend?
All right. Can you? Does the old computer still work?
Yeah.
Good start. Yep. All right.
Yeah, it does. Okay.
It does. It does.
So, yeah, it does. Yep.
To me, the quickest way to do it is to go into the folders that's containing the data and share them and just give everyone full control, assuming that you're not going to use the computer again. And if you hook it up to the network, you can navigate to that computer and then just copy the data from the old computer to the new computer over the network.
Do you have it networked together, Doug?
Yes.
Yep. Ooh. Yep. All right. Okay. So if they're networked together, Bob's approach will work. That's not the easiest way to do it, but it would be the cleanest and quickest way. If you don't understand networking, it can be a little hairy.
Well, yeah. No. If you're on the network already, it's just a matter of folder sharing.
I hear you. That's not so yeah. easy for everybody. We have people that say, does it update if it's off?
I was using a thumb drive, but it was kind of taking a long time.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's called SneakerNet.
Yeah. They used to use floppy disks for that.
Yeah. But you could use an external. Go ahead, Bob.
Then the other thing was now it's calling for a new version of Microsoft Office. What's the most efficient way to rent it, like by the month or the year, or buy it outright?
We'd recommend buy it outright unless you feel like paying Microsoft monthly to do a Word document.
Yeah, I don't really feel like doing that. So.
Now, what version of Office do you have?
It was in 2007.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that is pretty old. It is, you're not going to be able to run Office 2007 on a Windows 10 system. Microsoft has said no to that. You must buy a new version.
Jeez, that's funny. I'm running 2007 on my Windows 10.
What did you do to make that work? It's not supposed to work.
It works for me.
Oh, brother.
It worked for me also because on my old computer, I was able to do it. What I did last time, I used a transfer cable and just grabbed the whole C file and moved it over to the new computer.
I'm glad it's working for you, but it's not supposed to. So you could keep running it, or just go out and purchase Office 2019 Home and Business. You can also do the Student and Home. I think there's another lower version of it.
Right.
A couple
right.
hundred dollars, you'll pay for it once. Now you paid for that one back in 2007, so you should get another 10 years out of the 2019, unless Microsoft decides to kill it in some way.
So the only thing that 2007 won't do for you, well, it won't do some of the newer formats, but it doesn't. It won't synchronize with if you have an Exchange server. So it doesn't work with an Exchange server.
Right.
But if you're just getting email, it's fine.
Yeah, I just use Excel and Word. That's all I use on it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so we share the files. That's what we do.
You can share the files and copy and paste them.
Okay.
Share the folders.
Yeah, in a folder. Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Doug, you're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The other thought, too, would be to get maybe an external hard drive.
Yeah, there's that, but then you're doing it twice.
I hear you, but the benefit of having the external drive or two.
You have a backup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just by sharing the files back and forth, you really are just, you're not really protected.
No, that's true.
So feel free to get online, guys. We have three lines open for you, unless you're all out there raking your yards. That's fine. I understand. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we're waiting for your calls, here's another one that I liked. Judge rules $5 billion Google Chrome incognito mode lawsuit can go forward. The lawsuit contends that private browsing mode should block Google's web tracking. I would agree. Incognito mode, you're thinking you're surfing incognito. It's kind of like Tesla and self-driving cars. You're not quite self-driving yet. The same thing.
Autopilot.
Autopilot. U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh has ruled the class action lawsuit against Google's incognito tracking policies can go forward, Bloomberg reports. The lawsuit contends that Chrome's private browsing incognito mode should also stop Google's server-side tracking, and that Google's failure to cease such tracking violates federal wiretap laws. Uh-oh. Mm. Now, Google makes all their money tracking us, whether it's in your email, your Gmail, your surfing, your everything. The lawsuit seeks $5 billion or $5,000 per violation for likely millions of users. Could you use a $5,000 stimulus, Bob?
Well, let me see. If I'm Google and I'm going to approach the lawyer, the lawmakers to amend the law, let me make you an offer. You can't refuse.
Exactly. Google attempted to get the lawsuit thrown out on the basis of Chrome's incognito explainer, a message that shows every time you start up incognito mode and explains that your activity might still be visible to websites you visit. Thanks.
So what's the point?
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. Hey, you know what? We got to put some brakes on Google. They've been tracking us forever, and I have no trouble if they win this lawsuit and all cut us a check for $5,000. We've been the commodity forever, right? If it's free, we're the commodity. $5,000, man. I'll take it back.
Well, you know what? We only really need one company to run all the IT stuff in the world. Yeah, just one company.
Which one is that?
I don't know. Well, let's figure it out.
I'm not sure that makes good sense at all. Let's go on to Maria in Torrington.
Of course I'm being facetious.
I know you are. What's going on, Maria?
Marla.
Was it Marla? No, oh, I did it again. Why is it? So sorry, Marla. I think I do this to you every time.
That's all right.
What can we do for you?
I wanted to update you on how things are coming along with me cutting the cable.
Nice.
And it's perfect for me. I've saved over $100. Right. And when I brought my equipment to the cable place, the fellow set me up with internet. I know it's more than I need at 300 megabytes, Oof. But they have a promo going at $53 right. a month.
Good deal. Good price for 300 megs. I agree. 53. Just keep an eye on it when they crank it up on you.
Oh, absolutely. I will. And so that leads me to a question about the modems. I had purchased a modem, the Netgear Nighthawk at 3.1 DOCSIS.
Yeah.
And it's not compatible with Optimum, of course. They're only using 3.0. If I were to purchase a modem going forward, would it make sense to get the 3.0 to ensure I can still use it with Optimum, or am I better served to go to a 3.1?
I question that.
Yeah.
Because typically, I mean, I can do some research, but typically 3.1 is like backward compatible with
right.
3.0. So
okay.
I'm not sure that you know, you're getting the correct information.
How do you know it's not compatible, Marla?
Well, the fellow at Optimum told me I could get an Aeris 1602.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but have you tried yours?
Yeah, I did, and I called Optimum twice.
Okay.
To get two different people when I was actually setting it up, and I was told it's not compatible.
Okay, that's too bad. So I guess to answer your question, you definitely want to get an Optimum compatible modem, and if it gave you a specific model, then yes, I would get that version. You'd be silly not to.
Okay.
And then sell your Nighthawk.
Work with other things, right, if I choose to go to a different internet provider?
No. So it'll be compatible with Optimum, but if, let's say, GoNetSpeed comes to Torrington, right, and that's a fiber service, they're going to probably need you to buy a fiber-compatible modem. But you know what? You've saved so much money that buying a modem rather than renting it is really a no-brainer, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a list. I just looked it up. The full Optimum approved modem list, which we'll post a link to. And you can look up and see if yours is on that list. And if not, then there's a list that where if you're going to purchase another one, that should be or will be, according to Optimum, approved modem.
And whatever they've told you, I mean, if they gave you exact model, I would tell you to just grab that model. But we'll put the list, like Bob said, up there for you. But, yeah, you're going to run this service for a long time because there's not a lot of alternatives yet in Torrington. But
exactly.
Probably the two you
have. I know from what you had mentioned about underground utilities that GoNetSpeed is probably not going to be an option for me.
Not right away. I hope they're so successful that eventually they'll spend some money on us underground folks. It's just a tube in the ground, guys. How hard can it be to run the wire there versus in the poles? Come on.
When I purchased my home, I had to have cable come in and cut through the road and put wires in, et cetera.
Yeah.
So
it was funny, too. In our home, we have the underground wires, and when I brought in our Cox service, what is the first thing the guy does? Cuts the S&AT wires. Like, I think these guys have something going on there. But, so it's dog-eat-dog out there. But it's just a hole in the ground. A big 2-inch, 3-inch pipe sticking there. You should have plenty of room to pull a fiber line.
Well,
I would think so, but
depends on how many wires are already in the tube.
I know. There's always a limit. Well, good luck, Marla. I think you go buy the right modem, and you should be happy.
Okay. And my one other question is, do you have a link to a good tutorial about email? There's a lot I'm not understanding, a lot of questions I'm having about it. Like, for example, Optimum is my email carrier, but I view it through Thunderbird in Firefox.
Right.
And I need to know if I want to go independent from Optimum.
Right.
Will my folders be saved?
Thunderbird's your client, your mail client.
Okay.
And Optimum's your post office box. So you can put any kind of think of your mail client as your mailbox, right, outside your front door. You've chosen to receive your mail through Thunderbird. So whatever service you use, you should be able to keep what you have and bring in a new account and have it go to your mailbox. So if you go over to Proton Mail or other types of mail services, Thunderbird should work.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
That's all there is to it. It's just putting in the account and receiving your mail. All those folders should still exist as to how you laid them out.
Okay, as long as I have a Thunderbird account, then
your mail
everything
client.
From... Okay. That was the important thing because I have important information and folders in my email on Thunderbird that I needed to save.
Are you backing it up?
Yeah.
Oh, good. What are you backing it up to?
I have a iMac Passport.
Okay, so you're copying it over to the Passport. Are you disconnecting it when you're done?
No.
Okay. At least you have an iMac, so you have less chance of getting some sort of ransomware. But you should always disconnect your backup media from your system so that if you get impacted, it doesn't get impacted.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Marla. And I'll probably get your name wrong every time because it's a real tiny L over there from the distance I'm looking at this screen, so I apologize. Every time.
That's okay. But I thank you very much for all your help. I'm very excited that I saved so much money already.
We're excited for you.
Thank you. Have a great day and happy spring.
Yeah, you too. All right, bye-bye.
So I just put a link up where it says, the question is DOCSIS 3.1 backward compatible with DOCSIS 3.0? And the answer is yes. DOCSIS 3.1 is backward compatible with DOCSIS 3.0.
Yeah.
If your ISP doesn't support DOCSIS 3.1, your Netgear cable modem router still works using DOCSIS 3.0.
Hmm. But she's still having trouble.
Right. Well, I think there's something else, but you see, doesn't matter what cable company, they don't want to support a modem that they don't supply.
Right. They want to rent you theirs.
Right. So they'll tell you that, you know, it's not compatible.
Right.
Or I've seen that. Because they didn't sell it to you, they really don't want to support it, which, you know, you can't blame them for that.
No, I guess. So we'll step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Three lines open for you guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're here for a few more minutes here, about another half an hour. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, which is the name of the show.com, which also works. If you like us on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it may get into your news feed as long as you're not in Australia. And you can follow us over on WTIC's Facebook page. Feel free to like us, share us out there so Zuckerberg sees that, you know, you guys are interested in the program. I want to thank you guys for being on the live feed because Tom's got a question out there. Bristol, you know, Bristol's thinking about doing city-provided fiber, and they're paying $100,000 to find out if they should do city-provided fiber. And his comment is, why don't they just contact WIP City Fiber to see how that works? There's tons of municipalities that have had success with municipal fiber. In the case of WIP City Fiber, though,
haven't they also
company.
Had communications with GoNet Speed?
I don't know. Bristol, they could have.
I thought that they had mentioned that they were in talks with Bristol, but
that's great.
You know, they weren't agreeing with something or whatever.
Yeah, a public-private partnership can work, and, you know, again, if you've got an infrastructure like, you know, Wallingford, where they have their own private electric company, like WIP City Fiber had up there in the Buggy Whip capital of the world, just a little across the border in Massachusetts, they have the infrastructure all there. And they've been very successful offering municipal fiber, municipal internet. It can work. I don't know that you have to pay somebody to find out if it can work. I mean, you can find out the ones that don't work. I mean, I think the down in Groton area, I think it was, that whole municipal thing went up in smoke. Didn't go so good. So, I mean, I don't know. Government's not that good at providing good quality. I mean, look at Flint and their water systems. I mean, there's issues with government providing things. They don't do the best job all the time. They do an okay job. If you want okay internet, I think.
What you got to understand, I think, about the Flint situation was they put all those pipes in years and years ago.
Sure.
when they didn't know that lead was poisonous.
Correct.
So, but the problem was, is they never put up money or decided to spend the money to change out the infrastructure.
Well, there's that, but they also didn't forget the chemistry. When you send more caustic water through pipes that have kind of a layer that's built up to protect it from the lead, when they sent the caustic river water through those pipes, it allowed the lead to leach in. If they'd not done that, those pipes would not have produced an issue because there's like a little film that builds up right. that protects you from the leaching of the lead. So that's just, again, not understanding how chemistry works. You know, what are you going to do? So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Jan, hang on. We're going to get to you after the news, if you don't mind. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Actually, Jan, Mark, and Ben are on the line. Thank you, guys. Everything we talked about posted live. We're over on WTIC's Facebook page. Feel free to chime in, share our little Facebook Live video so folks know it's out there. Of course, we're on the podcast, too, radio.com. If you miss anything during the weekend here, you can always catch us on the podcast over at radio.com, WTIC.com. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. All four lines are all jammed up. You all got the message. You didn't have to rake your yard. Thanks, Bob. And thanks, Garden Talk, for saving us those hours. We appreciate that. Let's go right to your calls. Let's go to Yan in New Britain. What's going on, Yan?
Hey. Now, I have a question on... I lost my Gmail account.
You lost it?
Yeah. Here's the situation. I have ADHD, so you have to be patient with me. All technology is magic to me.
Okay.
It's hard for me to follow a lot of information at once.
Okay.
It's hard for me to separate wheat from chaff, so I'm going to try to be brief.
All right.
Short version is my old computer died. I had a friend of a friend that brought over parts that he cobbled together, an old compact. A modem with the scratch screen. So I made do with it, but I just got a new laptop. I got a new an HP. But the problem is I was trying to clear out my all my sites, my browsing and all of that on the compact because I had read that if you don't do that, you slow down the computer.
Not really, but go ahead.
Okay, so I don't really remember what exactly I did, but I have two Gmail accounts. I had two Gmail accounts for years.
Yeah.
And one of them is now gone. I can't access it. I used to just go into Chrome, and for a day or so, I couldn't even get Chrome.
Okay. So you can now, is Chrome working?
Chrome's working with my old Gmail account, but not my new one. And I'm a writer, and I use the new one has all my personal email stuff that I send poems out to people.
Yeah,
and so, I don't have that.
We should have a way. Bob's probably already found how to recover your Gmail account, right, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So Bob's already found some instructions for you as to how to go through and recover your Gmail account. You should be able to do it through the browser. And
through the what?
Through the Chrome browser.
Okay.
Right, Bob?
Yes. Yep. Yes, they have it. If you forgot your password, if you forgot the email address that you were using, it'll tell you how to do that. Yeah, how to find out if someone else is using your account if you can't sign in for any other reason.
Yeah.
How to recover a deleted Google account, and then if you still can't sign in, what to do.
Every option you can have there, Jan, and you can take a look at it at your speed to try to figure out how to recover the account. Once you have done so, I recommend you write down the mailbox and the password on a card and put it safely.
I actually have the old account.
Okay, good.
Because I had been printing out some emails, and And I have the password, but when I went into whatever was telling me to do to recover my account, when I put in the second account, it wouldn't allow me to do it. It was said, you know, doesn't exist. Wrong information. Wrong. Either email address is wrong or your password is wrong.
All right. Yeah. So these instructions will help you go through with Google to figure out which is the issue, whether it's the wrong email box. I mean, they could have lost your box. It is free. You know, there's no guarantee on free.
Oh, really?
Do you pay for that?
No.
Right. So if they lose it, they really don't care if you're upset, Jan.
So then you may have to recreate it.
Right. And let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope with the instructions we gave you, you'll be able to recover it. But their system is not infallible. Heck, it's fallible. That's the whole concept of it, computers.
If I can't recover it, there's like 600 or 800 emails that I've sent out that I want.
Yeah. Is it backed up?
It's possible. Pardon?
Did you back it up?
I don't know if it was backed up or not, because I'm basically computer illiterate.
Right.
So
that's
these
okay.
Friends of friends came in and set everything up and moved everything.
Yeah, I bet you they didn't back it up.
They did everything for me. This was like months ago, and it was working fine until I tried to
clean it up. Yeah, don't be a computer neatnik. It's not worth it. In this case, you did something. But I would tell you to follow the instructions to try to recover it for you. Hopefully, they'll be able to recover the account. If not, and you didn't back it up, there's not a whole lot of options. Now, if it came from the old machine is dead and buried, or is the old machine still
around?
No,
the old machine is still up.
Does it still work with both accounts?
It's still, the old machine works with the Microsoft. I use the Microsoft Edge browser. I use Firefox, and I use Google Chrome.
But can you get your email, the one you're looking for?
No.
Oh, that's broken there too?
Yeah, I can't get the emails.
Oh boy!
I wonder if it wasn't accidentally deleted.
Yeah, I got a bad feeling, Jan. If it's not working on the old one or the new one, try to do the recovery. Try to do the recovery. Let's hope it works. If not, you have nobody to complain to because it was free. What do you want for free?
Right. What would you advise then? In case this is something that happens once every zillion times, what would be a better thing than Gmail?
Proton Mail would be my first recommendation for a paid mail service.
What's it called?
Proton Mail. It's
Proton,
a Swiss.
Proton.
Yep, it's a Swiss company. It's fully encrypted, and it's a Swiss MIT project.
Okay.
And
I can use that on my new laptop.
There you go.
I have two questions. Excuse me. I have two questions also. I keep getting messages that Windows 10 will be replaced soon. So I have to do something?
Windows 10 will be replaced soon?
It's you've got version 1909, and you're getting a message that's telling you that you need to upgrade to 20H2.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a cost for that? No.
Well, there's a cost in your hours. You might lose some hair over it, maybe turn gray as the update's occurring, but no actual cost. Unless something blows up and you lose all your data, then there's a cost, but Microsoft doesn't care. It's a free update.
Right. Okay, so it's a free update.
Yeah.
So I just follow their instructions.
Yeah, when it says to update, so just say update now when you're not
click
busy.
This box.
Yeah, when you're not
just
busy.
Say update now?
Yeah, when you're not busy.
Last question is on the new computer, which I really like. It's in S mode. What are the pros and cons of switching out of S mode?
Well, you can do a whole lot more when you're out of secure, quote-unquote, mode from Microsoft and get into the regular mode. But S mode is going to prevent things from installing that Microsoft deems unworthy.
I would not be able to get my old browsers that I use.
No, browsers are okay, but software and stuff within S mode there's some limitations in S mode. They're trying to protect you from you. And clearly you need protection.
So should I just leave it like that? Leave it in S mode?
If nothing isn't working, if you're having no trouble using your computer and you're not having any trouble loading software, sure, you can leave it in S mode for now, but you can always get out of it.
Okay, if you get out of it, I read you can't get back in.
Correct. Yeah, once you open that Pandora's box, you're free to do what you want.
Okay, then I could, because it won't let, it says you can't use the any other browser.
But you are, though. You're using Chrome on it, aren't you?
No, I'm talking about the new one. The new one.
Okay, so that's locking it down. Yeah, so it's locking you down to their version. So if you want to run Edge and nothing else, then you're okay. But if you want to run something else, you say, enough with Microsoft, I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do.
Okay, so they want me to use all their stuff.
Yes, they do, Jan.
Okay. All right, I guess that's it then.
All right, sir.
Thanks for the information.
Yeah.
Thanks for the program.
Our pleasure. Good luck.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go on to Mark. What's the matter, Bob?
Well, wasn't there a story that you did a while back about somebody was offering, or there was some article I must have read, where somebody was offering them a free trip to this island, but they had to give up all of their electronic communications?
Maybe.
It was like some utopia?
Yeah, it sounds like S mode. Let's go to Mark in Hartford real quick. What's going on, Mark? You there? Mark, you there? Oh, we lost Mark. Let's go on to Ben in Storrs. What's going on, Ben?
Hi. I'm calling about something I find frustrating with browsers.
Yeah.
I know it happens with Firefox and Gmail and the G Suite. So if I clear my cookies,
mm-hmm.
I get logged out of the G Suite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's supposed to happen.
Well, if you clear all your cookies, I'm sure G Suite and all these programs use cookies to connect you. I've been getting more and more questions about this. You know, why do I have to keep logging into my websites? Why does it keep asking me for passwords? These browsers and these cookies are becoming back and forth trouble when it comes to people's usage. So, yeah, if you clear all your cookies and all your helpers, I can see how G Suite would log you out. And you have to reestablish it. I'm not sure you'd want to clear out all your cookies, Ben. You want to be selective.
Yeah. I see.
It's frustrating. So once you log back into G Suite, you're good, right?
Yeah. It's just I like to have control over what parts of the history to clear. And I don't like it when it logs me out like that. If I just clear cookies and I don't clear passwords.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways, though.
Okay.
So if you're going to connect to their services, they're going to need their helpers, their browser helper objects, their cookies to keep you connected. And so if you start clearing all that out, then you're going to have to re-log back in so they can put them back after you use the service again. We can put a link to how you manage your cookies a little bit on the website to see if that helps at all for you, Ben. But it's hard to fight City Hall. They want those hooks into your system. If you want to use their free G Suite, you need to use their hooks. You know?
I see. Yeah. It also made me think about Antoinette's call a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think she was being logged out of some website too, and I was wondering if that
It's a security too. There's some security too. Yeah, people are getting a little too lax. Like, everyone wants everything to stay logged in forever, which is nice, but it's not really secure. So if I walked up to your computer, I'd be like, hey, what's Ben got cooking here? Because you're already logged in. These websites do want to log you out in activity logouts. They want to log you out for security reasons. Keeping everything logged in is not secure. So that might be why some of this is going on these websites. So you can't fight City Hall. And being logged in all the time solidly is, I think, a huge security risk, unless you're not worried about whatever's on your G Suite.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all right.
Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Ben.
Okay.
All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Jack Middletown, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11. Then Dr. Alessi will come in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. And let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Let's go to Jack in Middletown next. What's going on, Jack?
Morning, guys. I'd like to thank Bob, first of all, for an excuse not to do some yard work.
Yeah. I mean, he's helping the peeps of Connecticut thanks to WTIC and Garden Talk. That's awesome. It's all from Garden Talk. Len and Lisa, man.
Okay. Not a real problem computer-wise. I know hardware, and, you know, I'm kind of savvy, but I have a big project. Well, sort of big. Yeah. To amass all my photos in one place from different drives, different websites, different... I have three old spinning drives that I have photos on my phone, photos from old point-and-shoots, on SD cards, flash drives. Is there any way to simplify this, like an old DOS command, like *.jpg or whatever?
Oh, to find them all?
To find them. Because the names are like all over the map.
Yeah, you can search.
They're named.
You can search in Explorer for *..
Yeah, if you go up, usually up in the upper right-hand corner under the search bar, you can just put in *., and whatever the extension is. Could be JPEG or JPEG or...
Yeah, there's so many extensions, yeah.
Yeah, and I can look up a list of photo extensions. And
the other thought, too, while he's looking it up, Jack, what about trying to find a photo organizing software?
That's what I'm asking you, actually. That's what I'm really looking for. Something to load. Right now I'm running a laptop, but I have, which is no problem. It's slow. It's a Windows 10. But just, I'm tired of clicking the mouse and searching my CFD drives, you know, and I don't even know the names of these files. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah, we have.
Because I never named them all. I didn't put them in one folder. I'm lazy, I guess.
Yeah, we all are. We all are. We're, you know, you have to be kind of an extra special geek to put all your stuff away the right way.
Yeah.
I would tell you to look at maybe B&H Photo. Probably has some blogs out there that might give you some expert suggestions on using the best photo cataloging software. Carmen Filaramo used to come on our show.
Oh, you mean B&H Photoshop?
Yeah. I bet you they would have some of the blogs out there. You found something, Bob, already?
Yeah, it's a list of the native file formats for images.
Right, that's good. But B&H Photo might have a blog, and there's also is it PC camera or DC camera or something to that effect? There's a digital camera blog out there, website, that might give you some good suggestions from experts on which software to consider to do photo management. I agree that, there's free stuff out there, but why is it free? I don't know. Are they capturing a copy of your pictures for themselves too? I don't know.
That really actually wouldn't bother me. I don't care.
I just
want to get them all in one spot, and I want to print. It's a project for my kids. You know,
nice. Yeah, get them all together. That's good. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options. I'd tell you to go to more professional photography sites to get some better advice than from us. And if Carmen was here, if he's listening on the podcast or if he's on the Facebook page, if he wants to post a comment, he sometimes listens from Florida.
Good. Could you post a link if you find one?
We will. And I'll put some stuff out here as far as some of the quote-unquote best free tools from Tom's Guide to manage your photos. And maybe you'll find some software in there that'll work for you.
I really appreciate it. I'm on Twitter. I don't know if you could post it on Twitter, but whatever.
We'll post it on Twitter. Yeah, if you follow us on Twitter, we're at Tab Computer Sys. It'll get there too.
Yep.
So if you follow us,
I do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jack.
Take care.
Take care. Yeah, managing your photos, managing your data, it's the biggest pain in the hiney ever. But you got the biggest thing to do is protect your data, back it up. If you're not backing up your data, you really have nothing. So make sure you're doing something to back up your data, because if I lost all our photos, I'd be in big trouble. I'd be in the doghouse. So I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank everybody who's been watching us on the Facebook stream. Feel free to like it and share it. Thank Mike G for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We do appreciate it. And Matt Soroyce back in Farmington. Someday, Matt, we'll see you whenever they let us in. you know, we're all going to get our shots soon. We're all button smashing the websites to get our shots. So eventually we'll get our shots and get to see you. Thank you very much, guys.
See you next week.